Take this opportunity as the pastor to say thank you to all of those of you who use your musical talent here at the church. I'm not a very musically inclined, well, let me just change that. I'm not a musically inclined person at all. But I can tell when people put time and effort and practice, and I sure am appreciative for those of you who play instruments, who practice with the choir, who practice with our special music. Your faithfulness and the time that's invested certainly is a blessing when you use the talent to honor the Lord and bless the people here at Fellowship Baptist Church. And my heart is blessed when I hear good singing, as we hear all the time here at Fellowship Baptist Church. We're blessed to hear good singing, and I praise the Lord for it. It's Christ-honoring singing. And for those of you, again, that give of your time, I realize sometimes you have to come out early. I know our orchestra comes out a little early for practice. Sometimes you stay late after a service for choir practice or special music practice. Sometimes you come up on special nights. And a lot of folks may not realize that, but I do, and I hope that everyone does, that you put time and effort into it. And I, especially while I'm appreciative of everyone that that puts in the time to practice, I appreciate those who kind of head it up and just put these groups together and schedule the practice times, and I'm very appreciative of you. I truly am. And God is going to bless your life in a special way, and if it doesn't happen here, which I believe that it will, I know that there's a reward waiting on you in heaven for using your talent and for your labor of love. I'd like for you to do something tonight. You know, in our Sunday evening services, we're talking about the family and the home, and I know when Brother David said, turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. Everybody thought, okay, here we go. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. I threw you a curveball, didn't I? And I do believe that this is some of the, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, some of the greatest scripture in all the Bible on the family and the home. But I also believe that the scripture that was read in your hearing is an addendum, if you will, to what has been said, and can be added to the family And then enlarged right into the church family, because that's what we are. We're just a kind of an enlargement of the family, as families make up a church body. We're family, and that we make up the church, and then we're family as the church. And so I want you to do something tonight. I want you to, if you write in your Bible or you highlight, look at verse number 10. This is the thought that I want to preach to you. And I want you to give me your undivided attention tonight. You always do. That's something I really appreciate too as the pastor is, our people will sit and listen. And it's very important that you hear what God is saying, because one day you're going to give an account for it. And I want each of you to understand that. We're all going to stand before God, and we're going to give an account of what we've been given. And the Bible says, to much is given, to much is required. And so I want to encourage you to continue to listen, to take notes, and to learn from God's word. Look at verse 10, and this is what I want to talk to you about. For he that will love life and see good days. There it is. That's what everyone's after. That's it. Folks just looking to love life and have good days. And God said, I'm going to tell you how to do it. I'm going to tell you, brethren, this book right here has every answer to every problem. It is the solution to everything that we face. Amen. Right here it is. Amen. Right here it is. This old King James Bible has the answer. Amen. I was telling our Sunday school class this morning, one day some folks are going to wake up and realize, you know what? The King James was right after all. Amen. That old Bible is right after all. Amen. And I trust that you'll wake up before then if you're not. And if you are awake, stay awake. And to realize right here's the answer. Right here. You love life. So, well, this morning you said that life was full of trouble. You can still love it. Amen. This is going to sound kind of odd to you. I tell my wife often, I like cloudy days. I enjoy cloudy days. You say, well, you weird. Well, that's all right. I'm different. I like to view myself as different, not weird. I like a cloudy day from time to time. I like storms. I just like all that God does. Really, I haven't seen anything that God does that I don't have a little bit of a liking to. And when I read this phrase here, I thought, well, there it is right there. Here's what everyone's facing. Here's what everyone's seeking, I should say. They're seeking. They want to love life and see good days. I could line everyone up here tonight and we could say, hey, what are you really after? What are you really after? Just want to love life and see good days. Now, before I get too deep into this, I want to go ahead and just let you know, this is not a pyramid scheme. See, a lot of folks think in order to love life and see good days, you got to get involved in some kind of money-making scheme. You got to have a lot of material things. Got to have a lot of money. Got to have a lot of power, a lot of position and pomp and prestige. Not at all. Just got to do what God said do. The maker of life. This is the manual for living right here. This is it. I'll never forget one day when I was working at D&D Lawn Care, there was a young man working there with me. His name was Ben. And Ben and I were working together, and I had been witnessing to Ben and telling him the importance of having his sin forgiven and having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Ben and his wife were getting ready to have their first child. And I had been witnessing to him and telling him the importance of training up that child with biblical instruction. And right in the middle of talking to him one day, he looked at me. I mean, he was just as serious as he could be. And he looked me square in the face, and he made eye contact, eye to eye with me. And he said, you know, Dale, he said, I'd give anything if that little one that's getting ready to come into my life came with instructions. And I said, Ben, it does. It's called the Holy Bible. The Word of God is the instruction for living. The Maker of life has given us a manual for living. And if we would just read what God has said and do what God said do, how we could love life and see good days. You know, there are men in the Bible, and I thought just about a few, and I want you to remember some of these men. Remember Solomon? What a good way to start life. And had good training and asked God for wisdom. But then he got greedy. And he got selfish and he got off course. You know what happened? in his life? You read the book of Ecclesiastes. He said, I hate life. I hate it. I mean, this man, listen, he had more money than you could imagine. He had more things. He had the pleasures of this life. And he came to the conclusion, it's all vanity. It's vanity. I hate life. Jacob, the schemer. You know how he schemed and he plotted? This is what Jacob said in Genesis. You can write this verse down. Genesis 47, verse number 9. He said, few and evil have been the days of the years of my life. So that's what happens when you get off the course. That's what happens when you try life your way. See, there's pleasure in sin, but it's only for a season. God said, I want to tell you how you can love life and see good days. So let's see what he said here. It's amazing the simplicity of what it takes. So let's back up. Look, if you would, in verse number 8. After verses 1 through 7, Peter told husbands and wives some of the roles that God has given us in the marriage relationship. He said in verse number 8, finally, be ye all of one mind. In other words, he's saying there's got to be a common purpose. There has to be some unity. You can't be scrapping and fighting and have the spirit of contention and love life and see good days. Now, I'm a confrontational person. I don't mind confrontation, but that doesn't characterize my life. See, I'm not out looking for confrontation. I'm not afraid of it, but I'm not looking for it. Some people's just looking for it. You ever met someone? I mean, listen, you just look at them cross-eyed and they're ready to have a fight. Sometimes I get scared driving down 29. Amen. I mean, you can just make eye contact with some of these wild-eyed drivers and they're ready to have road rage. Here's what he said. He said, finally, be y'all of one mind. What that means is, brethren, you have to work together as a team. We're a body. Now, what it does not mean is y'all have to think the same thing. Be the same thing. That's not what he's saying. When he said be of one mind, he's not saying everybody has to kind of fit in a mold. You see, my body works together in unison for a common purpose. Even though all of my bodily members have different functions, they all work together. We're a body in Christ. As a family, we have to work together. Whether it be a family under the roof of your home, whether we work together as a church family, it's the same with the team in sports, it's the same in the workplace. You have to work together. There has to be a goal. There has to be a plan. Somebody's got to chart out the plan and give instructions, and then people have to follow. And that is exactly what he's saying here. You want to love life and see good days? You've got to learn what it is to get involved and be a part of purpose and teamwork. You can't stand on the sidelines and criticize everything and expect to love life and see good days. It's not going to happen. By the way, I find it alarming at the number of people that have the mindset that life is a drag. Man, I'm loving life. I don't understand the mindset. I'm alarmed at the suicide rate in our country. And it's worldwide. It's not just in the Western civilization. I mean, this is worldwide. We have teenagers that are tired of living. They take their life. Suicide. The suicide rate is out the roof. I read a couple of statements this past week. Listen to this. This is what some person, when they were asked about their life, they said, life is a disease in which the only cure is death. My goodness. Someone else said, earth is a gigantic flywheel making 10,000 revolutions a minute. Man is a sick fly taking a dizzy journey on it. What? This is the way a lot of people are viewing life. You enjoying your life? Amen. Listen, you want to enjoy life? Find you something that you can be passionate about and give it your all. Give it your all. I'll tell you what I'm passionate about. I'm passionate about this thing called Christianity. I'm all in with Christ. Now, I'm not everything I ought to be. Don't you misunderstand me. And I'm by no means perfect. But I have absolutely no intention on backing out. I haven't left the back door open here, brethren. Amen. I'm passionate about this. You want to make a difference in somebody's life? You want to make an impact on somebody? Get passionate about life. As a matter of fact, God tells us this here. I'm getting ahead of myself, but I want to show you something. Look at verse number 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready. Because when you start living with passion, when we start living the way life, the life the way God intended it to be living, you get ready, because there's going to be some people coming to you asking, hey, what's going on with you? What's different about you? I told you a few months back, you go into work tomorrow morning whistling and you're going to get cornered before the day's through. I guarantee it. You know why? Because most people feel like that they're on an earth, this gigantic flywheel that's 10,000 revolutions a minute, and they're just a sick fly on it. That's the way a lot of people feel about their life. You know what? No one has to feel that way. And here, Peter, of all people now, Peter, God used this man, Peter. If you know anything about Peter, you know that this man had some trouble. God has then changed his life and his view on life. And he said, I want to tell you in verse number 10 how you can love life and see good days. That checks a couple of boxes for me. Amen. I don't know about you, but that checks a couple of boxes. That's on my punch list. I want to love life and see good days. I don't know anybody that says, well, you know what? I hope that I can just love a little portion of my life and see a little bit of peace before I leave this world. What a pessimistic way to face the greatest gift that we've been given, life. So he said, do this. He said, you want to love life and see good days? He said, start out with learning what it is to work with a team. Learning what it is to find your place. In verse number 8, finally, be all of one mind. Find you a team you can work with and get involved in something, and then put your all in it. And that you do, the Bible says, do skillfully, as unto the Lord. Then notice what he said, number 2. He said in verse number 8, he said, having compassion one of another. Compassion. In other words, he said, you ought to be able to feel what other people are feeling. You can't just turn a deaf ear and a blind eye to the suffering of the world and the things that people are going through. You got to learn what it is to get engaged and get involved in what other people are going through, because that's the purpose that God has us here, so that we can work together as one mind, but also that we can help meet the needs of others. As a Christian, you ought to love to help meet the needs of other people. So he said, in verse number 8, he said, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. You know, if you can't come to church and have compassion and see the need and help meet the needs of other people, where are you going to go to get it? Right? What's he saying? He's saying, you know, don't make life all about you. You will not love life if you make it all about you. He said, you've got to look out and see that other people have needs. You say, well, preacher, I have needs. Well, somebody will look out and see that you do, and they'll help minister to that need. God will see to it. But when we begin to look only on our needs, then we're going to look inward. And I tell you, that's not a pretty look. We need to look out through the eyes of God and see the needs of other people. And that's exactly what Peter's saying. He said, be one mind. He said, having compassion, show love, show concern, show interest. Then look what he said in verse number 8. He said, be pitiful. That means be merciful. Show mercy. You know what mercy is, don't you? Mercy is not giving people what they deserve. Now, grace is when we get what we don't deserve. But mercy is not giving what one deserves. Show some mercy. He called it being pitiful. He said, be pitiful. Be tender-hearted. Be kind to people. Whatever happened, just good old-fashioned kindness. Right? I'm alarmed. It's just amazing. I'm not much of a social media buff, because if I were, I'm sure I'd be in jail. Because you can't even disagree with people today without them getting into mudslinging and name-calling. Well, what's happened to our world? To where I can't disagree with you and we can still be friends. Why do I have to believe just like you in order for us to be friends? When did that ever come into play? I have the answer. I'm not going to get into it tonight. You don't have to look far to find the answer. So he said, be pitiful. Be tenderhearted. We're talking about loving life. Seeing good days. Write it down. It's not enough just to hear this. We've got to, listen, this works. You do know this, right? You say, well, preacher, I want to love life and see good days. Then write this down. Amen. Get to doing this. You think God's just going to say this and it not happen? If we do this, God said, I'll see to it that you love life and see some good days. That's what he said. So he said, in verse number 8, be of one mind. He said, have compassion one on another. Then he said, be pitiful. Love his brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. You say, preacher, that's easy. It's easy. Sometimes. There's other times it's not too easy. Right? Let's just pick one out of there. Let's see. Love his brethren. Love his brethren. So somebody says something about you behind your back. How are you going to deal with that? Maybe someone tells you, I'll always be there. I'll never let you down. And then you get in a pinch, you get in a fix, and they let you down. Now you know what Jesus said. John 13:35. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. See, love is not just some kind of, listen, warm and fuzzy feeling that people have. It's not some kind of feel-good thing. Brethren, love is deep. Love has to go deeper than somebody talking behind your back. Amen. Love has to go deeper than someone letting you down. Let me give you just an illustration here. Take your Bible just for a moment and turn to the book of Matthew. I'll just give you one illustration. Matthew, if you would. Matthew chapter number 26. So the Lord Jesus has been training his disciples, all 12 of them. One of them is getting ready to betray him. All of them are getting ready to forsake him. One of them is getting ready to deny him. And the Lord Jesus, in Matthew 26, and there's the reason I'm doing this. Now tonight, we're going to partake of the Lord's table. So right after in Matthew 26, if you look in verse number, Matthew 26, chapter 26, verse number 26, the scripture says, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it. So here it is, that fateful night of the Lord's table. And then Matthew records after that, that Jesus, they went out in verse number 30, they sung a song there in the Mount of Olives. And then Jesus said in verse 31, don't miss this, look at this. Jesus said in Matthew 26 and verse number 31, Jesus saith unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Now don't forget that. All right? Look at verse number 33. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. I'll never do that. I'll never do that. Not me. Now they may, but not me, Lord. Right? And then verse number 34, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all his disciples. So what's happening here? They're saying, Lord, we love you. You know we're not going to let you down. We're here to the end. You ever had somebody tell you that? Hey, I'm by your side. Thick and thin, through and through, I'm right here. And you go through a little hard time, boom, they're gone. Now what did Peter say? He said, you gotta love like brethren. You gotta love people. So what does Jesus do? By the way, they did exactly, if you'll go over to verse number 56 of chapter number 26, verse 56, look at it there, Matthew. The Bible says they did exactly what Jesus said they were gonna do. Chapter 26, verse 56, the latter part of that verse says, then all the disciples forsook him and fled. They forsook him. The time of the greatest need, when they should have been there supporting, they forsook him. The Bible says, love his brethren. What are you going to do when people forsake you? What are you going to do when people turn their back on you? What are you going to do when people say something that is not kind towards you? By the way, there's no one here that's never said anything like that about somebody. It's amazing how we always remember what someone did to us, but we have done it to somebody else. But somehow ours is different, right? Somehow ours is different. And so the Bible's teaches right here, and I'm just taking one of these things to show you, it's not as easy as it sounds, but it can be done through the power of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. It can be done. So what happens? Well, when you turn over to chapter number 28, you'll see exactly what happened. So they all forsook him. Jesus died alone. And when he resurrected, he said, I have a message. He said, you go tell those sorry, low-living disciples of mine that run out on me and forsook me that I don't want to see them no more. That's not what he said. And that's not what I ought to say and what you ought to say when someone does something that's not kind toward us. Well, love his brethren. Well, to be able to have an open door that when somebody comes to us and say, look, you know what, in a moment of weakness, I said something that I shouldn't have said, and I want to apologize to you. Well, accept their apology if it's sincere, and let's move forward and serve God together. Amen. So that's being of one mind. That's loving his brethren. Look at chapter 28 of Matthew. Look at verse number 10. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid, go tell my, and I love this next word, brethren. Amen. They're still my brethren. Hey, didn't they run out on you? Didn't one of them curse and say, I don't even know that man? He said, you go tell them. As a matter of fact, when you read Mark's account of this in Mark 16, he said, go tell my disciples and Peter. He said, make sure Peter knows. I want Peter to know I haven't given up on him. Amen. So we go back to Peter, and Peter's the one writing this. He said, love his brethren. So he said, I tell you, Jesus just keeps on loving and loving and loving. Weren't you glad of that? Weren't you glad of that? So that's the way we ought to love. So, preacher, I can't love like that. Yes, you can too. It's not that you can't love like that. It's you won't love like that. The Bible says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, Romans 5:5, by the Holy Ghost. Sure, you can love like that. We all can love like this. So now we look at what Peter's writing, and he said, listen, be of one mind, have compassion one of another, love his brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. These are just things that we ought to do. By the way, parents, you ought to teach your children these things. Ah, they'll learn it soon enough. No, if you don't teach them the right way, someone will teach them the wrong way. Teach your children what it is to open a door for the elderly, to say thank you, you're welcome, please. It's good. We were discussing in our home a week or so ago where Gene and Sharon were telling me that someone from Hollywood was saying, well, you know, it's not important to teach children manners anymore. Well, it's obvious they're not doing it in some places, but you ought to teach it in your home. Amen. I taught it in my home. You ought to teach it in yours. I pray to God that some people will get back to teaching what good old-fashioned manners are. Look what he said in verse number 9. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise blessing. In other words, don't be a spiteful, vengeful person. You'll not love life and see good days. Now listen to me. I'm trying to help you. I want you to love life and see good days. Say, well, preacher, I'm not going to do it. Well, then you're going to be sorry one day. You're going to be sorry one day. We're going to have to do it God's way. And God said, if you'll be of one mind, if you'll have compassion, if you'll love his brethren, if you'll be pitiful, tenderhearted, kind, if you'll be courteous, if you'll not be a spiteful, vengeful person, you can know what it is to love life and see some good days. But if you go around always looking to get even, well, I'm going to get them back. How dare them say that about me? I can't believe it. I'm getting them back. It doesn't matter how long it takes and what I have to do. They're going to hear from me one day. You're not going to love life, and you're not going to see good days. Your life is going to be filled with contention. Your life is going to, listen, it's going to be filled with ulcers And your mind is going to be clouded with doubt and fear. You're always going to be looking over your shoulder. The Bible says in verse number 9, not rendering evil for evil. Nor, he said, railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing. What's that mean? That means when somebody's mean towards you, just God bless you and go on. Listen, you're not going to change a whole lot of that. Best thing to do is just kind of go on with that. So I'm going to stand and fight toe-to-toe, preacher. Well, you're not going to love life and see good days. Sometimes it's just good to walk away from toxic situations. Say amen with me now. I think we've got some folks in here that's lived long enough to know that this old book right here is so, and when God says it's time to walk away and get away from those situations, just walk away. Just walk away. So he said in verse number 9, not only that, he said, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. In other words, he said, because of the life that you live, there's going to be people that's always going to be railing. There's going to be people that's always going to be accusing. Because when you live a good, wholesome Christian life, that kind of life, it convicts. That kind of life, it sends shockwaves. And when people see it, they get riled up by it and they say, who does he think he is? Who does she think she is? And then they'll start attacking. And God said, don't you let that deter you. Just do what's right. Do what's right. And then he said in verse number 10, for he that will love life and see good days, he said, let him refrain his tongue from evil. Quit talking people down. So I'm not going to do it. Well, you're not going to love life and see good days. So I know a lot of good old filthy jokes, preacher. Well, you just keep telling them, but you're not going to love life and see good days. I'm telling you what the Word of God says. I want you to love life and see good days. I want to love life and see good days. But God says now the only way you can do it is follow this prescription right here. He's talking to saved people. How do you know? Because he said love his brethren. We're saved. Folks that are saved ought to hold a certain standard. Look what else he said there in verse number 10. He said, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil. You know what that means? That means turn away from it. Stay away from that. You see people that are doing wrong. You see things that are going south. Get away from that. Move away from that. Young people, learn what it is to walk away from those kind of things and those kind of people. You don't have to be mean to them. You don't have to be arrogant. You don't have to speak down. Just move away from that situation. Get yourself out of that environment. It's not good for you. You're not going to love life and see good days. You're not going to be in the wrong place with the wrong people having the right feelings. Say amen. Somehow we've gotten our mind. We can run around with the wrong crowd and be in the wrong places and do the wrong thing and something right turn out. No. No. So he said, hey, you want to love life? See good days? Here's the prescription. Verse 11 says, let him eschew evil and do good. We were talking this morning in Sunday school about conscience. As a matter of fact, Peter mentions it here on down in the scripture. Look at verse number 16, having a good conscience. Conscience is important. Can I tell you that every person sitting here has a conscience? The law of God is written down in your heart. And when you get to go do something or I get to go to do something that's not right, God will let us know in a heartbeat. Hey, that's not right. Right? I was showing the Sunday school class. I want to show you in Romans chapter 2. If you'll turn there. Romans chapter 2. Paul said this is what conscience is. Look in Romans chapter 2. You say, preacher, what is conscience? Well, we're going to let the God of conscience tell us what it is. See, your conscience is important. You can't sin against your conscience and love life and see good days. Your conscience will torment you. We were talking in Sunday school this morning about old Herod beheading John the Baptist. I believe everywhere Herod went, he heard John's voice. Hey, it's unlawful for you to have thy brother, to have your brother Philip's wife. He said, that's unlawful. I believe everywhere John went, he heard it. Hey, that's unlawful. Hey, that's unlawful. Hey, that's unlawful. I don't believe he could sleep at night. It's wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong. He kept trying to get away from it. He couldn't get away from it. even to the point he had him killed. He beheaded him. And then he heard about the works of Jesus. He said, oh my goodness, that's John. Then rose back from the dead. He couldn't get away from it. A guilty, tormenting conscience. You want to love life and see good days? You got to keep a good, clean conscience. Can't be running around, sneaking around, doing things behind people's back, living a lie, living a double life. Listen to me now. You can't be doing those kind of things and love life and see good days. So, well, preacher, nobody knows about it. Your conscience does. God does. Look at, if you would, in Romans chapter number 2, in verse number 13, it's talking about hearers of the law and doers of the law. Romans 2:13, verse 14 says, when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are law unto themselves. Now watch this next verse. Which show the work of the law written in their hearts. Who? The Gentiles who have not the law. There's a law written down in their hearts, he said, and their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing. So that's what conscience does. It accuses or excuses. It says it's okay or it's not okay. That's what conscience does. It's okay or it's not okay. You ever sinned against your conscience? You ever sinned when God told you, hey, that's wrong, so I'm going to do it anyway. And you have to deal with that. It's going to take some love and some good days out of your life. It sure is. And so as we go back to Peter to close up, I want you to really focus on this and commit. I'm gonna commit these scriptures. I want to love life. I want to love life and see good days, preacher. Well, you can do it. You can do it. Don't go through life. Listen, there's some folks, even before Sunday's halfway through, oh, Monday. What a terrible way to live life. It's Monday. It's Tuesday. What? This is a day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. You love your life? You love your life? It won't matter if it's Monday, Sunday, Wednesday, Thursday. You love life. You're just glad to be alive. Sin's forgiven. Look at what God surrounded your life with. Good family. Most of us in here in good health. Probably half the people in here ate more than they should have ate. Today. And will again tomorrow. We're going home to find houses. We're driving cars. We've got our health. We have family. Brethren, we've got it made. And if we're not careful, we'll bellyache through life, get on the backside of life and wonder, where did it go? We wasn't enjoying it when we had it. Peter said, look, learn what it is to love life and see good days. Every day is a present from God. It's a day that God has given us. We don't know what a day may bring forth. This could be our final day. Enjoy it. Live it till its fullest. Be passionate about life. Say, preacher, why should I do that? Why should I be of one mind, have compassion, love as the brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not render evil for evil, railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing? Why should I refrain from, verse number 10, my tongue from speaking evil, my lips, that they speak no guile? Why should I eschew, which means turn away from evil and do good? Why should I seek peace and pursue it? That's what the word ensue means. He said, because the eyes of the Lord are watching. Look at verse 12. He said, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. He said, God's watching now. God's seeing what you're doing with that day he gave you. Dale Freeman, God's seeing what you're doing with that day he gave you. He's watching what you're doing with what he's giving you. I'm going to give an account for it too. You are too, by the way. I'm going to give an account of my life every day, brethren. Every word that comes out of my mouth, the Bible says I'm going to stand before God and give an account of it one day. You are too. It's serious business. And so he said, The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to the prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. So do right. Love life. See some good days. Don't fall into the trap of the woe is me and the pessimistic movement that seems to be taking over our world. I've just about quit watching news. Where's Steve at? Steve's not here tonight. I've gone, the night he's out. Steve's never out. His ride's not able to be here. That's why he's out. Steve, if you're watching, I have to confess, I hadn't cut back on news because of your message last week. Just get tired of all that negativity. You know, it's just one negative thing after the next. Hey, I like what Dr. Thompson says when he's witnessing to people. You're tired of the sad news, the bad news of the world, and he'll pull out a tract and he'll say, let me give you some good news. Here's some good news right here, brethren. Right here is good news. There's a God in heaven who loves us. He's got a perfect plan for our life, and he's promised that he would meet our need, and he would be with us in all areas, in all phases of our life. He would never leave us nor forsake us. I hope you love your life. And if you don't, why don't you just begin to evaluate, why don't I love life? And life is wonderful. What is it? Why don't I love life? Keith's family. I was on vacation last week, the Keith's family and Nathan. And there was Adam and Mariah and Nick and Nathan and Haley. Posted a picture. And I looked at it and I said, my, that's good stuff. You know why? I even wrote it on there. It's good to see young people smiling. Boy, they were smiling from ear to ear. Hey, that's the way you'd ought to be. I know life can't be one big fake smile, but you ought to be happy about some things. Amen. Love life. See some good days. If you'll do it God's way, you will. How about it? Let's stand to our feet. There's other things in that passage of Scripture, but I'm through for tonight.